Today's second lesson may be found in Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Hear the word of the Lord. These are the things you must insist on and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I arrive, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhorting, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Put these things into practice. Devote yourself to them so that all may see your progress. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. The word of the Lord. If you were a member of this church's pastor nominating committee, would you consider Timothy a likely prospect? I doubt it. Because for one thing, he was very young. Timothy was perhaps 19 or 20 when he first joined the Apostle Paul on Paul's second missionary journey. You heard that story read just a moment ago. Now, when this letter arrives in his mailbox, Timothy is still young, and he is the pastor of the congregation in Ephesus, most of whom were undoubtedly older than Timothy. Older, wiser, more experienced. Paul, sensing the hesitancy in his young friend, gives him this advice. Let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love, faith, and purity. Let no one despise your youth, Timothy, least of all, you yourself. As young as you are, Timothy, you've got what it takes. So be an example in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Do we ever really get over the feeling that we are too inexperienced, too ignorant, too weak, too old, too young to make a difference in this world? Shortly after I went to my last church in Scottsdale, Arizona, 18 years ago, a member met me at the door following the worship service, shook my hand and said, "Tom, this is the first time in my life I've had a pastor who is younger than I am." Turned on his heel and walked away, leaving me speechless. Now, he probably meant nothing by it. It was probably just a passing remark. But paranoid as I am, I assumed that I could never live up to that man's expectations, because even at the age of 52, I was too young. So I need to hear Paul's admonition, and so do you. However young or inexperienced or weak or insecure you may feel, let no one despise you. Let no one look down upon you. Let no one tell you that you are second or third rate, least of all yourself. Now, you might be pessimistic about Timothy's prospects to serve in this church, secondly, because he was shy. At least that's what Paul implies in 2 Timothy 1:7. God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. Now, if in fact Timothy was timid, that could very well hamper his ministry. We ministers are supposed to be outgoing and sociable, gregarious and congenial. Ministers are supposed to be everybody's friend. We're supposed to know everybody's name. And if I forget your name out in the hallway, I'll get an email from you on Sunday evening, I'm sure. We're supposed to know everyone, be everyone's best friend. But some of us are shy. I am shy. And many of you are shy. It's tough for you to reach out and shake a stranger's hand. It's hard to mingle at a party, isn't it? Or even to make a new friend in the church's coffee hour. And in a world where the gurus of success counsel us to be animated and extroverted, we shy people aren't really sure that we'll ever count for much in the world. You might be pessimistic about Timothy, thirdly, because he was unwell. No longer drink water, Paul counseled him in 1 Timothy 5:23, but take a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. What was his diagnosis? We don't know, but I confess I would have second thoughts about inviting Timothy to pastor this active congregation simply because he might be out on sick leave far too often. And yet, Paul took this young man, Timothy, on as an apprentice missionary in spite of his apparent shortcomings. Sure, there were things about Timothy that could breed pessimism, but there were more, many, many more things that bred optimism, promise, potential. For one thing, Paul knew his family. He knew his mother and his grandmother, Eunice and Lois, and he speaks highly of them in 2 Timothy 1:5, and he's confident that this son and grandson of such stalwart, able, intelligent women will have what it takes to succeed. Secondly, Paul knew Timothy's faith. He calls it a sincere faith. That is, it was a faith without guile, without hypocrisy, without deceit. Timothy didn't join the church just because it was the thing to do. He didn't join the church to find a spouse. Didn't join the church to make business contacts or to get God to help him become a millionaire. You'd be surprised by the reasons people sometimes profess their faith and join a church, but not Timothy. Timothy had a sincere faith, Paul says, which meant that Timothy was more concerned to do something for God than that God should do anything for him. Thirdly, Paul anew respected Timothy's faculties. Timothy was a gifted scholar, preacher, and teacher, and Paul admonishes him, do not neglect the gift that you have. Then he repeats himself in his second letter in 2 Timothy 1:6, rekindle the gift of God that is in you by the laying on of my hands. You are a gifted man, Timothy. Don't put yourself down. Timothy had the right stuff. He had a strong family. He possessed a sincere faith. He had superb faculties, and he had something else. He had a friend. He had a staunch friend who believed deeply in him. Paul was that friend. Paul took him under his wing. Paul encouraged and mentored him. Paul corresponded repeatedly with him. Paul would not let Timothy think anything but the best of himself. And the result? In spite of some people's pessimism, Timothy lived up to his promise. Every young adult, every teenager, every child needs at least one friend like that. Would you be such a friend? In the middle of the presidential campaign in 1860, Abraham Lincoln learned that a young friend of his son Robert had failed the Harvard entrance exams. His name was George Latham. The next day, Lincoln sat down and wrote him a letter. My dear George, I have scarcely felt greater pain in my life than on learning yesterday that you had failed to enter Harvard University. And yet there is very little in it if you will allow no feeling of discouragement to seize and prey upon you. It is a certain truth that you can enter and graduate in Harvard University, and having made the attempt, you must succeed in it. Must is the word. I know not how to aid you, save in the assurance of one of mature age and much severe experience, that you cannot fail if you resolutely determine that you will not. In your temporary failure, there is no evidence that you may not be a better scholar and a more successful man in the great struggle of life than many others who have entered college more easily. Again, I say, let no feeling of discouragement prey upon you, and in the end, you are sure to succeed. With more than a common interest, I subscribe myself very truly your friend, A. Lincoln. Lincoln, when he wrote that letter, was less than 4 months away from being elected the 16th President of the United States of America. He was giving speeches. He was corresponding with leaders all over the nation. He was trying to keep his own law practice afloat, and yet in the midst of a very, very, very busy schedule, Lincoln sat down, took pen in hand, and encouraged George Latham. And I have no doubt whatsoever, that Latham read and reread that letter until it was dog-eared in all the great struggles of his life. The Bible is God's personal letter to you. And there is ample encouragement in this letter to help you to become all that God created you to be. Here are some portions of God's letter that I turn to in the great struggles of my life. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Isaiah 41:10. Surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Jeremiah 29:11. I can do all things in Him who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:35-37. Abraham Lincoln subscribed himself to be George Latham's friend, and I have no doubt that he meant it, so that if Latham ever again hit a stone wall and went to Lincoln for counsel and advice, Lincoln would put aside his law books, he would put aside his unfinished speeches, he would put aside the affairs of state, and he would give his young friend his total and full and undivided attention. The scripture passages I just read and hundreds more assure us that God will do no less. Never hesitate to go to God in the great and the not so great struggles of life. God subscribes Himself very truly to be your friend. And God will never, never renege on His promises. Amen.